Procrastinating, a term most often used by the millennial generation, is a method of putting something off, delaying, or postponing something by taking part in the act of baking.
Welcome to Procrastibaking, a place to talk about our baking obsessions and avoid doing everything else. Coming to you from Southern California, I'm Louisa.
And from Eastern North Carolina, I'm Rachel. Hi, Lou.
Hello, Rachel. Oh, we greeted each other at the same time. How lovely. How are you?
I'm doing good. Our exchange student is here. We baked M&M cookies today.
Oh, she helped you with them?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that was good.
How did they turn out?
Well, I was disappointed because they're from one of our favorite cookbook authors and from her blog. And the pictures looked great. And ours almost turned into like a cookie pizza. They like spread so much.
Oh, is this Midwest made?
No, it's Sarah Kiefer.
Oh, Sarah Kiefer's.
Yeah.
Chocolate chip? Was it chocolate chip and you modified to do M&M?
No, she put on her blog an M&M version, and they're like the pan-banging cookies. But hers are still circles, but mine is like literally a pan. Like I cut out square cookies with a knife.
Dang. So they just ran into it. Maybe the dough was too warm, you think?
Yeah. I debated putting it in the fridge. But it didn't say to chill it. And I'm like, this is unusual. Because like my plan was like, we're just going to chill it and then cook dinner and then bake the cookies.
Right.
Well, it didn't say to chill it. So I was like, well, we'll just stick the cookies in and then start cooking dinner. Well, I think we probably should have chilled it.
Yeah, I am always a little skeptical when I see that they tell you not to chill. I'm like, I could just take that advice, but I know how it's going to end up turning
out.
But if I'm going to trust you, let's see what's going to happen. That's a bummer.
Yes.
Well, this will come back at a future episode because I have some things I want to talk to you about. Yeah, just comparing some of the stuff that I like from Sarah Kiefer to what I think might be done in a better way with Midwest Made, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah. So that's exciting. That's an exciting adjustment having the exchange student there.
Yes. But it's been a lot of fun so far. So I'm excited.
That is cool.
Oh, I have a question for you. Have you been to your German bakery?
No, I have not been to my German bakery. I'm running out of time. There's only so many more weeks left. I will make it eventually. I'll say like in September, because I think that's pretty much my last chance.
That sounds like a good plan. September sounds
so
like
then
a good
I could plan. I guess I could do my thing at the last.
Cause you yeah, that would be a good
beginning, and mine will we'll bookend it.
Nice. That's a good plan.
Okay.
That was your plan all along.
That was my plan all along.
Have you done any extra baking?
Not yet. Well, I guess sort of. I did make a bunch of stuff to send in our soldier box. So that went out last week. And it just so happens that everything that I made came from Midwest Made.
Oh, okay. Well, that worked out
so
nice.
So it kind of, took care of some of my book club requirements. One of the things I really loved, which I'll just talk about now and then I'll talk about it later also, was the Rice Krispies treats. She uses a ton of marshmallows, like more than the normal amount, I think, and white chocolate. And they were so good. I haven't made Rice Krispies in forever, like since I was in high school, I think. And they're just not something that I would think to make. But after making hers, I was like, oh, this could be a regular addition to care packages because they were so easy. And just the white chocolate added something really nice to it that made it, you know, how they can kind of be a little bit bland or kind of boring, but that added a fun little flavor profile that I wasn't expecting. So that was pretty cool. Nice. Yeah. And I think I'm going to be making something. My friend Molly just had her baby, a baby girl, and I want to send a little, like, congratulations baking package. So I think I'm actually going to remake the banana bread from Midwest Maine because I have some in
Oh,
Minnesota.
yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking like heading into fall. Well, she lives in Boston, so she's going to get more of like that nice real fall weather soon. I was just thinking of things that I could send that kind of capture like summer is ending and we're going into those kind of warmer, soothing months, and banana bread to me feels like something that matches that. I don't know what else to put
Oh
in there
yeah.
though.
I
Yeah,
have a
probably
good
some.
recipe for like pumpkin. I think they're pumpkin cookies. That would be good. That I got at Christmas last year.
Oh,
So if you
are they
want
like
style vibes, that would be good.
filled with anything?
I don't remember.
I'll
I'll
have
find
to
them.
look.
Just
Curious.
I don't think so, but they could be. I could see them being filled like caramel or something.
They don't even have to be, because I was thinking I do make like a pumpkin. I make pumpkin cookies with the cream cheese filling, which are really
Ooh.
good, but those don't ship very well, I don't think, just because of how massive they get. And so it would be nice to have a pumpkin cookie recipe that doesn't have anything in it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
The corn cookies might be good too. They're different, but they're kind of fallish.
Ah, the corn cookies is actually a really good idea because I know they really liked that bakery. Momofuku, is that it? No. What's the name of the bakery?
Yeah, I think that's it. Milk Bar.
Yeah. Milk Bar,
Yeah.
yeah.
But I think it's the same place or the same owner or something like that.
Good idea. Oh, this might be a good time, Rachel. I'm curious about a couple of things. So I follow the baking subreddit, which is actually really cool because people post all sorts of really neat projects that they're working on, and I've pulled a couple of recipes from there that I've actually ended up liking. But one of the posts that was popular on there a little while ago was unpopular baking opinions. And I know you and I have talked about those on and off throughout the podcast. So I put in some of like the most popular comments put in there, and I wanted to get your input on what you thought. So this was probably one of the top ones in that thread, and it said, baking isn't hard if you actually follow the recipe.
Ooh, so that's a really tough one for me because my first thought is yes. But then we talked about my M&M cookies today where I followed the recipe and they didn't turn out right. But I have been surprised by how simple some things are if you just follow the recipe, like the braided breads and things like that. They weren't as intimidating or technical as I thought they might be.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of truth to that, but it also has to be a good recipe.
That's a good point. I agree. I feel like this one's half true for me. Like sometimes I've made things and to me it doesn't seem that difficult, but the other thing is that I've also seen in a lot of like online recipes where people will tweak things. They'll add things or take things away and
Oh,
then like
yeah.
complain when it doesn't turn out. And I'm like, if you're, it is true, like it is fairly simple if you follow the recipe. I feel like for the most part, there are some things that I think are more technical, like when we made croissants, for example, or when we make macarons, like some of those things, I'm like, you need to actually know how to laminate or how to fold in something for it to work out.
Right.
Oh, in those instances, I'm like, I could see, like, even if you followed everything that's written, if you don't really have a good idea of what you're doing, it might not work out. But other times, I'm like, yeah, if you do follow, but you have to actually follow it. And that means don't sub things in that you think are easily exchangeable, or even like with weighing, like if it's very
Oh,
specific about it
yeah.
needing to be weighed or needing to be sifted or like things need to be room temperature. I feel like those are little things that people would maybe think, oh, what's the big deal? And then maybe not have a baked good that works out. So I don't know. Just read and follow the directions, but like actually follow them. And it should be okay. Okay, another one that was on there that I strongly agree with are is the idea of like the really elaborate cakes. Like the things that you would see that are themed like on those shows like Cake Boss or
Oh, yeah,
when there's
where
a
they have
lot of
like working moving parts and stuff.
yes That those types of cakes are kind of overrated, with the idea being like a cake. I mean, it's really cool when you have a showstopper cake, but it is something that's supposed to be edible that you're serving at an event that, you know, it shouldn't take like a whole team of people to then disassemble the thing so that you can cut into it and serve it. Like it should be relatively easy to slice and give pieces up to people. So I kind of agree with this. I do feel kind of grossed out when I see episodes where they make these really fancy cakes, and I'm like, but the part of this that you can actually eat is maybe, I don't know, like 40%. And to do that, you still have to
Yeah.
move a lot of it off, but I don't know.
And also, some of it is like not cake anymore. Like it's like Rice Krispie treats or things like that that they've sculpted and then covered in fondant. And I'm like, that is a its own skill to be able to make sculptures out of Rice Krispie treats. Absolutely. But at the same time, like it's not a cake. It's a cake with things on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get put off by them, and I think like a lot of those shows, if there's like a Food Network show that has like, you know, a cake, the theme is not like flavors and like that kind of thing. Like it's like making the giant cake or like a cake with a water fountain or something. Like I'm like not interested in watching that because I'm like, this is not really baking anymore. This is like sculpting.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like when you need to have a solid engineering foundation to also make it work, I'm like, which I don't know. I know some of like the GBBO challenges end up being really technical and difficult like that, but I feel like even in those cases, for the most part, the cakes are mostly
Yeah.
edible, right? Yeah.
They're mostly edible and they stress like it still has to taste good. Like in some of
Yeah.
these giant cake shows, they like the cakes are sometimes provided. Like here's just a slab of plain cake for you to create with. But on GBBO, they still have to make their actual cake. Their cake is going to be tasted.
Yeah. Okay, what about this next one about no big cheesecake? So no big cheesecake isn't really cheesecake. It's just cream cheese mousse.
I agree. I mean, I like it, but it's not cheesecake. It's like cheesecake flavored mousse or cream cheese mousse. I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too, but it doesn't make me dislike it, you know. I
Right.
think it's delicious, and I think it's a fun, easy go-to when you're like having a summer party and you don't have a lot of time. So, okay, this one I kind of agree with. I mean, I definitely agree with. Recipes don't use enough cinnamon or vanilla.
Oh yeah, especially the cinnamon. The vanilla, I think it depends on what it is. Like I'm in a vanilla a group for people who make their own vanilla on Facebook, and some of them are always like, "Oh, I always like quadruple the vanilla," and I'm like,
Oh.
"But if I'm making like a super chart chocolate cake with coffee in it, like I don't want to quadruple the vanilla. Like if I'm
Quadruple
making the
more than I
vanilla
was
cake,
thinking.
right?"
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I do normally add a little bit more vanilla than what's called for, and I definitely add more cinnamon. But I do think so. I also wanted to tell you this. A couple years ago, I had my mom's recipe published in a magazine for cinnamon bread, and it gave a range for like the streusel. It was like, you know, use 1 to 3, I don't remember if teaspoons or tablespoons, depending on how much cinnamon you like in the streusel. And one lady commented that she tripled the highest amount of cinnamon and it was way too strong. And I was like, so of course she's like, this cake is so terrible. And I'm like, you quadrupled the amount, the highest amount, the range. And of course it's going to be terrible.
This is what I'm saying, going back to the first thing. If you follow the directions,
Yeah.
yikes, that's funny. Did you tell your mom about this?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if it was tablespoons and she used 9 tablespoons, what is that, like a half a cup or something at this point of cinnamon? Like
So much cinnamon.
but yeah, I generally add more to like everything fall baking.
I do too. I wouldn't quadruple anything, but I always do maybe like, I don't know if it says 1 teaspoon, I'll do like 1.5 to 2. Like
Yes, same.
cinnamon, I just go until I feel happy with it, like by whatever I'm feeling
Yes.
that day. I did this as a tangent, but along with like people saying that recipes don't use enough cinnamon, I saw a lot of people saying like, if I see cinnamon in there, I'm throwing in a bunch of other stuff too because it's just going to make it taste better. So cardamom, ginger automatically go in there with it too, which I don't really think I would do that every time, but I understand the line of thought, I guess.
Yeah. I guess sometimes I have substituted like a chai spice mix for the cinnamon, but I'm like intentionally trying to convert it to chai. Like I'm not trying to think, oh, this is just gonna taste like cinnamon. Like,
Yeah.
so going expecting that it's gonna taste different. I'm not gonna leave a nasty comment if it's terrible.
Have you ever commented negatively on an online recipe?
Not, I don't think on a recipe, no.
Ooh, but just on a lot of other things.
I've left bad reviews for places and things like that. And when people are idiots about, like, they correct somebody's word choice or grammar or something and they're wrong, like, I leave them a link to, like, Merriam-Webster that explains it. But other than that,
Ooh, that's funny. Yeah, I was just curious if you can, if they, if are you allowed to comment back to the commenters? Like, if they say your recipe's bad, you can, right? You can reply back and be like, well, who told you to put a billion things of cinnamon in it? I know you probably wouldn't get anything from it, but I'm like, I like knowing the options there if you needed to. I would never. I'm so like conflict averse. So just be like, okay. Okay, last one is macarons. So macarons are too much work for too little payoff. They're overhyped, essentially.
Oh my goodness. I feel like an internal struggle here because if they fail, then I get really exasperated and was like, this was not worth all the effort. Because sometimes they fail really badly, like they're not good to eat. And sometimes the fails are just not pretty and they still taste good. So I think I mostly disagree with this one. I think when they turn out well, they are really good and get a good reaction if I take them somewhere. But I can tell you this, my exchange student doesn't like them. She says they're too sweet.
Oh, interesting. I don't know what I do feel like this is a little true, but
They're
I don't
also
know.
everywhere now, and they're not great ones everywhere.
Yeah, I guess this would just, I don't know. I feel the same. Like sometimes when they work out and I take them to something and they get a really good response, you feel like, oh, I should do this more often, but they are a lot of work, so, and I've had more fails and successes, so I would probably at this point maybe lean a little bit more towards the overhyped feeling, just because for all that goes into it, I would hope that I'd be more successful at this point, but maybe that's just a me thing, like figuring out my technique. It's not you, it's me. Okay, well, these were fun. There's a billion more that we didn't talk about, but maybe every so often I'll go back and add a couple
Yeah,
more. It was really
that's a good idea.
interesting. Yeah.
It is the mission of each true knight, her duty, nay, her privilege, to dream the impossible dream of finding the perfect cinnamon roll recipe. And we know it will only be true to this glorious quest that our taste buds will be rewarded with sweet success. Today, we tried King Arthur's famous cinnamon rolls. And Louisa, I want you to tell us how it went for you. But first, I want to tell you, as I was reading this, I got an image of like a knight in like their armor wearing like an apron with our like logo or colors. I think that would be cool.
Ooh, a little
You could have like a
advertising idea,
trophy,
huh?
maybe. Yeah.
Ooh. All right, Raul, take note. I don't know what I expect you to do with this information, but just note that we
It down somewhere.
did, yeah, write it down. Okay. These were, okay, let's just start off. Overall, I don't think they're as good as the Brave Tart recipe, but I think they were really nice in terms of how soft and pillowy they were. Like that was
Yes.
there. I thought they looked really pretty once I had like cut them and set them in the pans, and they held together really well. Like they held their shape, so even after baking, they didn't kind of, you know, sometimes like the end will come
They kind of
detached
get
and it just,
floppy. Yeah.
yeah, it didn't have that. I love the consistency. So I think I do love how soft they were. I just didn't really like the filling. I thought it was really bland. I was actually like extra disappointed in the filling for this one because I tried it and I was like, this is so boring. Like it just took away from how how nice they looked and how soft they felt.
Yeah, how soft they were.
And they didn't, I don't know about you, but they didn't brown for me. So when I took them out, they were done. And I was like, I can't leave them in there anymore because the bottom is gonna get burnt, but the tops
Oh,
were still like
yeah.
pretty pale. So they were baked through, but they weren't, I don't know. I just like a little bit of browning in there to make it look aesthetically pleasing. And for some reason, it didn't get to that point. So they were fine.
Yeah, mine did brown. I had to go back and look at a picture because I was like, I don't remember. But
What
yeah,
did
they
I
did brown.
do? Isn't that weird? Like, I don't know why mine didn't. They just stayed pretty pale the whole way through.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's hear what you thought.
I pretty much agree with you. I think that Brave Tart's filling was definitely better. These, I feel like they were pillowy and soft without having to fold them every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just the dough part, I don't know if it's the same as Brave Tarts or just slightly under, because mine were pretty consistent too, but I feel like Brave Tarts was pretty consistent as well. So yeah, I think this would be second for me.
Yeah.
I want to ask you though, do you think wasn't Brave Tart the first one we did?
Brave Tart was the first one we did, yeah.
So I always heard, and I don't know if it's true, that if you're in a beauty pageant, you want to be first or last because the judges forget everybody else. So I'm wondering, are we suffering from like first place, like first try syndrome?
That's funny. I was also having a similar thought because I was having a hard time. I was sitting down with Raul, like going through all the ones that I've made. And he was like, honestly, he's like, you've made so many back to back that it's really hard. None of them were bad. So it's hard, you know, none of them were burned or like disgusting. So he's like, so they all just kind of fall into the realm of like, they're all good. And I've liked features of some more than others, but to tease them apart was hard for him. The only one that he seemed to really remember was it Sarah? I think it was Sarah Kiefer's. Because those were really
Yeah,
pillowy and soft.
they were really pillowy.
Yeah. And so maybe you're right. Maybe it's just because that was the very first one.
Yeah,
But
I do really like her filling though. Like to me, it's like enough, and it's also like the flavor is good. Like some of the fillings have been like skimpy or they like bake in, but I feel like hers was thick enough that it held up.
that's my other thing. Like a lot of these recipes, well, I shouldn't say a lot. I mean, maybe this one and the one we made just before this. I don't know why they're skimping on the filling. Like,
Yeah,
why
that's like the
not?
part that makes it the cinnamon roll. Otherwise,
Yes.
it's just a
Like,
roll.
yes, when I made the filling for this one, I was like, that's it? I don't know. I could already tell it was going to be underwhelming. So I don't know. I don't know whether it's a bias or not, but I still think Brave Tart is the best overall. And while I've liked little things here and there, that would be the one that I would still go to.
I agree with that.
I wouldn't be opposed to trying this one again and subbing a different filling recipe though, because again, like they
Like,
are really pillowy. It's nice. They look beautiful.
yeah, I could use this recipe with Brave Tarts filling.
Yeah, that would be a good combo. So the quest continues. I think we have one more.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sometimes we get a little stir crazy in the kitchen and take a break from behind our ovens to explore what local bakeries have to offer. In today's episode, we visit famous restaurant and baking company in New Bern, North Carolina. I think out of all the places we went, this was probably the best on our whole trip.
Oh, for sure. And I just thought New Bern was like the cutest little town. I liked all the little bears everywhere. The whole city had a little bear theme going, and they were dressed appropriately. So if there was like a bear statue in front of a dentist, it had like a little white coat on. It was so cute. This one was by far my favorite. Like, I think we walked in and looked at the menu and we took forever to decide what we wanted because we wanted half of the bakery.
Yeah,
And
we had a lot of choices.
I mean, I wanted to order like at least six
One
things
more
to
thing.
eat.
Yeah.
We split two things. The salted caramel cupcake, which I loved. I thought it was perfect. I thought the cupcake was like perfectly, I keep saying moist, I'm sorry, but it was moist and soft, and the flavor of the salted caramel was perfect. And I thought the thing that you ordered, the peanut butter chocolate mousse cake,
Yes.
was so good. I think it had the right ratio of peanut butter to chocolate. And the only thing is, it was really rich. So that one I would definitely share,
Rich.
like
Yeah,
with a
it has to be
two.
split. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel kind of bad because I ordered the cookie and I feel like I had told you we were going to share it. And then I just took it with me. I just
Well,
took
we
it.
decided we were full though from the cupcake and the mousse. So
Fair
yeah,
enough, but
all things being in, yeah.
when I was on the train going back, I pulled it out to eat it and I thought, I told her I was going to give her some of this, and then I just ate the whole thing. In my head, I was thinking, if I eat it while thinking of her and all the fun we had together on our beach trip, it's kind of
There
like
you
I
go.
shared it with her. Happy to
I thought
report
I
though,
tasted it more.
the cookie was really good, don't you think? Since you tasted it from afar. It was really good. It was, I don't know, everything was good. I would go back there every time. And the presentation of everything just looked so beautiful and professional. And I'm trying to think of other things that we didn't get that we were eyeing.
There were a bunch of cookies. There were some cheesecake and slices of cake.
Yeah, their carrot cake looked really good. They had, I
They had
think
some
it was,
bars, like brownies and like turtle bars, I think.
they had a banana pudding parfait
Yeah.
thing. That looked really good. We did think it was funny though. We were trying to find the building and there was a place called, was it like Famous Deli or something like that?
Right
Famous
before it,
restaurant.
yeah.
But then you see the building and all it has on the front is famous. It doesn't say famous bakery or famous restaurant. It just said famous, which was funny. So, but we found it and we had a good time.
I agree, and I agree with you. The salted caramel cupcake, the flavor was like spot on for salted caramel. And I think for all those moist haters out there, we should do a bring back the moist campaign.
Yeah, I had forgotten how much people hate that word until I started saying it repeatedly as we were talking about these baked goods. And I tried to make myself stop, but
But
I
there's
don't
not
know.
really a great adjective to replace it.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I would use another word if I had one. Bust out of thesaurus. What else can I say?
But you don't want damp. You don't want a damp cake. Like, that's similar, right? The what's up is moist or damp, but you don't want your cake to be
I do not want my cake to be damp. That's something that I never knew I wouldn't want, but now I know. I'm putting those words together. You know what? I don't want a damp cake. That funny. Sometimes we like to hop bake into our time machine and try out some bakes of yesteryear. Okay. Rachel, let's talk about yours because I remember you told me what you were going to make and I was really weirded out but intrigued. So I want to hear all about it.
So I made the Campbell's tomato soup cake recipe. Apparently they used to print this recipe on the back of their soup cans. And it which is weird because it only used like half a can of soup. So I don't know if the soup used to be smaller or if the recipe maybe should be for two cakes because what are you gonna do with the other half of the can? So I tasted the batter, and the batter tasted like tomato soup, but the
Oh.
cake did not. The cake tasted like a spice cake. And I took it to work. I iced it with cinnamon cream cheese frosting, and I wrote a note that said, "Spice cake with a secret ingredient. Let me know if you can figure it out." And people were emailing me like all day, like, "Is it this? Is it that?" One lady did say it's tomato soup, and she said, "I saw it on TikTok this weekend," so it was like in her head. But nobody else guessed it. Like somebody guessed cardamom. There was like a bunch of different spice guesses, applesauce instead of eggs. So most people did not taste the tomato.
Interesting.
I thought it was pretty good. The texture was slightly gummy, especially like the day after I made it.
Okay.
Overall, it was like a decent, quick, just like, one layer sheet cake kind of thing.
Weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't think I'll ever make this, but if I'm ever somewhere where someone has made it, I would try. But I'm not gonna make it. I think it's fascinating that they chose this to put on the back of their.
Right? The back of
I
the
mean, I'm sure
KTV.
they alternated them in and out, but like you said, something that wouldn't even use the entire can.
Right. And
Weird.
actually, I might have to take that back because I think I cut the recipe in half. So I think it did use the entire can. Never mind. Scratch that. Because I just wanted an 8 by 8 and the full cake was like a 9 by 13. I was like, I do not need that much tomato soup cake. Like, no.
Okay,
So yeah, I cut it
we
in half.
take
Yeah.
back our criticism of
I'm
Campbell's
sorry,
soup.
Campbell's.
Yeah. Weird. Okay, well, I'm impressed that people at work ate it and that somebody was
Yeah.
able to figure it out. That's so funny.
So tell me what you made.
Okay, so I went a bit of a different direction this time. I was trying to come up with like an old family recipe, but it turns out that nobody in my family really bakes. Like my aunts and my abuela, she was a really good cook, but nobody did anything with sweets. And so I decided to make something that is popular in Honduras for like the holidays. It's called a quesadilla, but not like a quesadilla that we would think of. It's almost like a pound cake, but it has different types of cheese. It uses like a hard cheese, and it also uses it's kind of like a sour cream, except to me it has like a sweeter consistency,
Okay.
along with milk and sugar, and then it uses rice flour and wheat flour, eggs, and then at the end you're adding in like whipped egg whites to give it like a lighter consistency. So this is just like baked in like a cake tin. And it was funny because I couldn't find any like recipes online for it at first, and then I had to go to TikTok. Why do I have to go to TikTok for
Ah,
things? But it's
that's
actually very
crazy.
useful. Yeah, and to be fair, like maybe I could have tried a little bit harder online, but I just had a feeling that I could look it up on TikTok and somebody would have their version on there. So I found a girl who put her own version up that I followed, and I thought it was pretty good, but it's not the same. And I'm sitting here wondering if it's just because I think we've talked about this, like when you have like specific baked goods in certain contexts, it's part of like the memory that adds to the enjoyment of what you're eating. And so like I had a slice of it. It smelled so good before I even took it out of the oven. It tasted really yummy. Like you're supposed to have it with coffee, which I did, but I was like, maybe it's because it's not Christmas. I'm not there with my family, and it's not like this big crowd of people. And I don't know. I feel like sometimes that just adds to the enjoyment of what you're eating. So I don't know. I don't know if I maybe need to try a different recipe or if I just need to give up and accept that this is something I'll only eat when I go visit, because no matter what I do, it won't be the same. It wasn't bad. It was really yummy. So I'll still include the link to the recipe in our show notes in case someone wants to try it. And it was cool, like reading about the origins of it, though, because I know this is also really popular in El Salvador. And I was reading about the history of the quesadilla from there, and it stems way back to like the 15th century, I think. It came
Oh, wow.
from like Spanish colonizers who brought a variation of this that was similar, and it almost had more of like a bread pudding consistency, though. So there was like a cheese bread pudding that came from Spain that they brought with them. And then, as it happens, once the recipe was like tweaked and moved along different countries that it was brought to, it had gotten a different spin on it. And so it's very, very old. So it was good, but it's missing a little special something. I don't know if I can replicate it, but I'll keep trying.
I wonder if there's like a missing spice or something, or if just the spice is different, or like,
I was
maybe somebody
even,
like, okay.
yeah, no, I was even thinking like just like the type of milk I used. I used like for the hard cheese, the queso duro, I did find like a store that sold a brand from El Salvador. So I was like, that's gonna be really close. And then the same thing with the sour cream, that was a brand that we found that was from Honduras. But then I was like, even then, I don't know if maybe because I'm not using like ingredients that are they're not quite the same. Or yeah, like what you said, maybe there's a missing spice that I'm not aware about. It's funny too, because even getting these when we were there, it wasn't like you would find them in grocery stores, but my family was very much like, we do not buy these from grocery stores or bakeries. They were like, we buy this from this one woman who lives like, I don't know, the up a town over, and she's not even, I don't even think she's like a baker by trade. She does something else, but she's like the woman in the community that makes these, right? So we would only buy them from her. So I was like, even that's tricky. Like,
That's funny. I wonder if the grocery store one would taste like you, the one you made. Like she put
maybe
something special or secret in there. Yeah.
I just need to track her down, I guess, and see if
That
she'll talk to me and tell me like her secret. She probably won't tell me because it's a secret, but
would be fun,
it would be a little adventure.
though.
So I don't know. I would like to try it again by Christmas time. So I will update you guys if I have figured out how to get intel from her or just figured out what I'm missing.
Baking is always a little unpredictable. It's time to mix things up and roll the dice. Today, we have one die that has different forms on it, and it's going to tell us what we have to bake. We have cake, bread, cookies, pie, cheesecake, and cold and frozen. And I have to say, I have a lot of figs, so I'm secretly hoping for cheesecake because I got a magazine that has a recipe for fig cheesecake and it looks really good.
That sounds amazing.
What do you want? Anything but bread?
Yeah. And I don't want cold and frozen because it's not the time of year for that. So we have to move on to other forms. So yeah, I just don't want bread and I don't want cold and frozen. And I think everything else would be okay.
Right, let's give it a We got pie.
Wow.
It's getting to be fallish. I have a bet. I bet you're gonna make a fall pie and I'm gonna make a cold and frozen pie.
Okay, well, this is not bad. We could do a lot with pie.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you for listening to this batch of Procrastibaking. We hope we've provided some food for thought for your next Procrastibaking project. As always, the links and photos discussed in this episode can be found in our show notes. Procrastibake with us on Facebook and Instagram while you wait for our next episode to rise.
We will release new episodes first and third Fridays on your favorite platform. Tune in to the next batch of Procrastibaking as we take another out and about adventure, share our roll the dice creations, and add another cookbook club entry. Until next time,
stay
stay
sweet.
sweet.
This has been Procrastibaking. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave a good review. You can also subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and many more. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed directly from our website at procrastibakingpodcast.com. Also, feel free to follow us and give us your feedback on social media on Instagram at procrastibakingpodcast and Facebook at facebook.com/procrastibakingpodcast. Procrastibaking is hosted and created by Rachel Rhodes and Luisa Gonzalez, produced and edited by Raul Ceballos, theme music by Alex Walker Smith, and show artwork by Rob Demers.